The biopharmaceutical complex now is afraid of their extinction of power from high levels of the United States government. So we could expect to see the release of new pandemic threats to implement new draconian measures, new emergencies, which all they would just want to sow chaos and roll out the experimental injections that they've been working on now for years.
Hey, critical thinkers, welcome to this new episode of Healthy and Awake podcast. Here we question the conventional, explore the unconventional, and seek truth in health and wellness. I'm your host, Mike Vera, and we have a very special episode today with Mr. Nicholas Holscher, who has been putting out some really great research alongside the McCullough Foundation. We've had Dr. Peter McCullough on the show twice. He's broken a lot of ground. And so I thought it would be really great to get Mr. Holscher here to tell us what's going on with this bird flu emergency. So, Nick, I see you're an MPH, a Master of Public Health. You're an epidemiologist. You're working at the McCullough Foundation. So can you kind of just fill us in and what is a MPH? What does an epidemiologist do? And what kind of work are you doing at the McCullough Foundation?
Yes, so an MPH is just a master's in public health degree. And specifically, I went to University of Michigan School of Public Health for this degree with a specialization in epidemiology, which is basically just the study of diseases. And so once I graduated, actually before I graduated, which was about 2 years ago, I started working with the McCullough Foundation, with Dr. McCullough. And we conducted, since 2 years ago, about 11 or 12 studies demonstrating harms from the COVID injections, as well as other topics like bird flu. So at the McCullough Foundation, we've been busy conducting research. Daily, we put out physician and public education. We give our insights on public policy. And Dr. McCullough frequently attends court hearings and court cases in supporting those. And he does that. He's done a bunch of those in the past few years, especially. So we're busy doing all four of these facets. And yeah, it's been great. And we look forward to continue disseminating the truth.
Well, I look forward to that too, because I know we need more truth. It feels like we've been lied to quite a bit. And I that's kind of the central focus of our discussion today, I think, around bird flu, where, you know, Dr. McCullough was on my show 3 months ago. And at one point, he explicitly said some stuff about bird flu and how it may be the product of gain of function research. And I know you were the lead researcher on this paper about bird flu origins. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so this paper is currently it's been peer-reviewed and published, and so it's called The Proximal Origins of Highly Pathogenic Avian Influenza, H5N1, and Spread by Migratory Waterfowl. And what we found was actually pretty shocking. So in Athens, Georgia, at the USDA Poultry Research Laboratory, we found on their website, they actually admit to it, on a webpage, that they're conducting H5NX gain-of-function serial passage research in this lab. And what that means is, so they've been taking H5N1 or N2, because they put an X at the end of it. They didn't want to tell everybody exactly what they're doing. So what they've done, they've taken that virus, and they just put it in the ducks, mallard ducks, over and over and over and over and over again until the virus becomes more transmissible or more deadly. And so it's a great question as to why they need to conduct this research. It's absolutely reckless. And what we found was, so they've been doing that. And then all of a sudden, in 2021, when this started, and it was also the same year when the new H5N1 clad 2, 3, 4, 4B first was detected in the United States. Well, we found that a particular strain, genotype B11 and B12, were detected in Georgia, the same state where this lab was, about a few months after this gain of function started. And so that was there. And then a few months after that, there was the same exact strain, genotype B12, was found in a dolphin off the coast of Florida. This dolphin was washed up, or it was stuck somewhere. So they picked up this dolphin. They wonder why it died. They opened up the dolphin, performed a necropsy, and they performed a genetic analysis to see, well, what happened? Why are all the organs destroyed? What's with all this necrosis going on in the dolphin's brain? And they found this H5N1 strain. So it just jumped species, traveled likely through migratory waterfowl, gotten in sea life. It's strange it even infected sea life to begin with, but it did. And then a year or two after that, all of a sudden it shows up in all these cows. It shows up in various animal species, actually probably over 50 animal species now they're finding this in. So it's been an absolute disaster. What we believe has happened is that this did leak out of this Southeast Poultry Research Laboratory via either animal escape or a worker had it on their clothing and walked out. They didn't know it or something along those lines. And it's resulted in where we're at now with, now 61 human cases as of today, and California declaring a state of emergency, which is, I believe, a massive overstep that's going to result in disastrous consequences. And now we're at this moment, likely as a result of these reckless gain-of-function experiments.
Now, for at least a year, there's been talks of disease X. And I've seen you guys put forth that bird flu is disease X, but I've also seen, I think also from you guys, that malaria might also be disease X. So it seems like there's some sort of convergence of multiple viruses going on. Can you help me clear all that up?
Yeah, so disease X in general is defined as a disease that basically we don't know what it is. It's just a unknown disease or a disease we haven't discovered yet. And so they call it disease X. Now, recently we saw in the Congo, the entire media, there was an entire campaign calling this unknown, they were calling it unknown disease in the Congo, killed 100 people, infected 500. And they were calling it disease X. And what we recently found out about a few days ago was actually, this was no disease X. This was actually just malaria, just a severe form of malaria. The Congo is one of the poorest countries in the world. There's absolutely almost no healthcare access. Most of the population's malnourished. And so, yeah, they're going to end up dying from this malaria at pretty high rates. But one thing we found about this was Congo introduced the R21 malaria vaccine in October of this year, right before this so-called disease X outbreak started. And this R21 vaccine is a virus-like particle made in a lab. It could potentially have triggered this so-called outbreak of malaria, or exacerbated it, made it worse. So we would need to see the vaccination data in this region, in the Congo. But yeah, so it's been a false alarm. The entire media seemingly tried to fearmonger it. And now it's died off after this confirmation that it's just malaria.
Okay. You've tried the apps, you've signed up for gym memberships, and you've given it your all, yet you're still not where you want to be. What's missing? Accountability and expert guidance. As a board-certified health and wellness coach, I provide the personalized support that you need to finally make real, lasting progress. Making a solid health routine last and stay consistent is hard work, but you don't have to do it alone. Let's work together to turn your health goals into reality. Are you ready to transform? Start your journey at Avantia Health Optimization by clicking the link in the show notes or by going to mikevera.com, where you can try your first session for just $1. Now back to the show. So going back to bird flu, obviously when it came to COVID, they were trying to tell us it was bat soup. And it sounds like with what you're saying here, specifically with bird flu, that it's not some kind of new flavor of soup, that it's actually manufactured.
Right, right. And yeah, nobody ate bat soup. Nobody ate a dolphin. Nobody ate a cow that had it. They're playing with these in laboratories. And we saw even a few weeks ago, it's not just the Southeast Poultry Research Lab. No, it's been going on in other places. And I'll give you three examples. We'll start with the most recent one. So in the Scripps Institute in California, this lab, this biolab is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as you might expect, and it's also funded by the NIH. And so what they've done is they look to see if the current bird flu strain, which mutations would be required to better infect humans, to change the specificity from avian receptors to human receptors. And they found exactly the amino acid they needed to change. And they shared it in the journal Science for the entire world to read, basically giving the blueprints for bioterrorism if they want to make this virus transmit among humans efficiently. So that's what they've been doing there in California, which is extremely dangerous. They should not be publishing this research. It's just not worth the risks. And so they did that. But Yoshihiro Kawaoka in the University of Wisconsin-Madison over in Wisconsin, he's been for decades doing bird flu gain-of-function research. He's been also trying to change the specificity to better infect humans. And he, in his laboratory, has had multiple lab accidents. And this is outlined in our paper. He had puncture wounds. People walked out with it. They got infected. They had to quarantine them. And these are with modified strains. So that's been a disaster. And then we go all the way to the Netherlands at the Erasmus Medical Center with Ron Fouché. He's also been modifying bird flu viruses to become actually airborne transmissible. So he's been looking out how to do this. And he's been using ferrets due to their similarities in some aspects to humans. So he's been doing that. And so it's been going on for decades, this research. It's still going on. And in my opinion, it needs to be stopped as soon as possible before another leak happens or before more of these blueprints are released for bad actors to copy. You know, the gain of function research needs to be put to a halt. It offers way more risks and very little benefit.
You know, in the very beginning of this discussion, when you started talking about bird flu, you said, well, you know, maybe what could happen or maybe what did happen is that, you know, it leaked somehow. Somebody had it on their clothes and it kind of spread that way. And I'm sitting here thinking, this guy's just being polite. I think that's a polite way of saying these guys are messing around with weapons and secretly releasing them to cause a ruckus, which I think is plausible. But with what you're saying now, with these new examples that you're offering, I'm hearing that there actually have been multiple legitimate lab leaks from all kinds of different experimentation from different labs. So it's sounds like it's kind of hard to know what exactly is really going on about how this got out.
Yeah, it's going to be almost impossible, if not impossible, to find out exactly what happened. As we see with with the COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2 release from the laboratory in Wuhan, we're never going to be able to, you know, go back in time and see exactly what happened, but we can trace the footsteps. You know, we can look back, see any consistencies, any strange anomalies that might have happened. And we just got to put the pieces together, because quite frankly, the government's not going to do that for us. For sure, they're not going to, nor are many of these major academic medical centers, any of the major research centers. They're all going to shy away from this. We saw that when we were submitting our paper to major journals. They would just reject it without review. A lot of them, they wanted nothing to do with it. They still believe that the virus magically just came over from Europe in 2021 and the birds flew all the way across the ocean. And that's how they think it got here, which, you know, yes, I guess in some cases, some strains could have got here, but that doesn't put away the fact that they have been getting shipments of these viruses, physical shipments into these bio labs and making them more dangerous. That's much more likely to be the case of why all of a sudden there was this massive host range leap, this massive evolution, accelerated evolution of this virus. It's very likely that this was not natural. This was laboratory driven.
Well, I think you answered my next question, because I was about to ask you, for you to present findings like this, super compelling research, you would think the academic and scientific community would welcome this information with open arms and say, hey, you know, this is serious. The implications are huge. We have to do something about this so people don't get injured. It seems like the most obvious thing in the world to actually pay attention to this information. But if I understand you correctly, you're saying that they don't want to look at it because in at least some instances, they're kind of implicated. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And actually, one of the people that we derived some of this information from, they work at the Southeast Poultry Research Lab. They're the ones actually that reported that the first detection of one of these strains was in Georgia. So they actually, one of the first ones, they provided us with the information, their study did, that led us to believe it was leaked from a lab. So yeah, they definitely, but in their study, they didn't mention this at all. They didn't even raise the possibility. And actually none of the major studies coming out of these major centers or by the government, none of them mentioned risks of gain of function. Absolutely none. They don't even say it's possible when this virus is literally in so many of these labs. Of course it's a risk, you know. So they intentionally deflect and ignore this possibility. So you're 100% correct.
You know, it makes me think of, I don't know if you've seen this clip, but when the Ukrainian invasion first started happening, there was somebody, maybe it was Matt Gaetz, who was interviewing Victoria Nuland. And she admitted for the first time that I'm aware of in Congress that one of the reasons they were concerned about this invasion is because, well, the so-called enemy might get access to these, what did they call it? Bio research facilities. And they basically said the reason they're concerned is because this bio research can effectively be used as bio weapons, which is what we're talking about here. So there seems to be this doublespeak where when they're doing it, it's bio research and it's totally on the up and up and there's no risk at all. But if somebody else were to get their hands on this, it's the most risky thing in the world. And when these outbreaks actually do happen in real life, they kind of like plug up their ears and close their eyes and make loud noises so they don't have to hear the fact that there very well could be a connection between the dangerous research they're doing and the dangerous virus we see in real life. I mean, it just seems like chaos out here.
It's absolutely chaos. I mean, they you're right. They call these just virus research or research that's benefiting, it's advancing science. And yeah, you're right. They just label it as something great, something that's saving the world. when in reality it's risking the world to face another disaster. So yeah, they will lie and mislead and put out disinformation regarding these labs to the best of their abilities. And I think they're going to continue to do that because they want all attention away from these labs. And it reminds me of the situation recently where a former COVID czar, Ashish Jha, gave a presentation to the University of Michigan. And he said, all of a sudden, we're entering an age of bioweapons. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. He said, a bunch of people are making bioweapons and we're going to have to face the fact because that's what's coming. And that was a quote from him. So he's warning about that. Bill Gates, last year in an interview with BBC, also said, we have to be worried about bioterror, as he laughed. He uncontrollably laughed. And so these guys are warning of imminent bioterror attacks. So it makes sense they want everybody to stop paying attention to the bio labs, because quite frankly, they may be the bioterrorists. You know, anybody who has a part or is funding dangerous gain of function research is by definition at least somewhat conducting a bioterrorist-like activities because it risks massive death and massive injury among the population. So yeah, this needs to be addressed as soon as possible, and it needs widespread exposure. And hopefully the new administration, the new public health administrations, will confront this issue.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually have specifically here a question for you on the White House COVID czar. Sheesh, I was going to ask you exactly what you just talked about, because I heard that and I read that in your article. And I'm thinking, why is the push immediately always vaccines, 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 while in the same breath, they're saying tons of people are making bioweapons, so we need vaccines. Why are you not talking about the makers of the bioweapons part? That seems like a pretty important part to focus on, and they kind of just gloss over that quickly. It's scary and comical at the same time. And you know, another thing that came to mind when you said all that was Dr. Peter Hotez very specifically said that we need to worry about outbreaks starting January 21st, which just coincidentally happens to be the day after Trump gets sworn in. So, I mean, you're well educated. You're an epidemiologist. Are you aware of any viruses that have specific start dates?
No, I'm not aware of any in history that actually have a specific date when they magically appear in humans. So yeah, I'm not aware of anything like that, but I am aware of intentional release of pathogens. And most definitely when that happens, an intentional release of a virus, yeah, that will have a predefined set date. So if these people apparently know that there's going to be some release virus, it seems, you know, we should obtain that information. It shouldn't be some secret classified stuff. That should be shared. And any intentional viral release or pathogen release should be stopped and investigated. You know, making such threats is extremely serious, you know, because we saw with SARS-CoV-2, look what happened. The world is now in a much darker place than it used to. Many people have been injured. Many people have been killed. Countermeasures released to so-called combat the virus have resulted in literally catastrophic consequences. And so, yeah, this has to be looked into. We can't have another man-made pandemic, especially ones with specified start dates.
Well, whether it's man-made or not, let's just put that aside for a second, whether it came from a dolphin or whatever. You know, it is already having some serious consequences. So California is in a state of emergency. I think they found it in raw milk. I love raw milk. I drink it every day, and I haven't gotten bird flu yet, as far as I know. And maybe asymptomatic, which we're going to talk about later. But how much of a concern is this really? I mean, I would imagine they're going to try to run the same playbook where they're going to shut people down. There's reason to actually believe that they want to do that with the new spending bill they tried to push forth. You know, it just seems like it's going to be more of the same of what happened during COVID. And in addition to that, there are people who are actually worried about their health, immunocompromised people who might be seriously concerned. So how much of a concern is bird flu really?
So if we look at the World Health Organization's case count list all throughout history since bird flu started, now there's never been a H5N1 bird flu death in the United States in history. And so there's been about 61 cases and no deaths. Vast majority of those cases have been mild, which include pink eye and a mild respiratory symptoms. Now, in the last few days, we've heard from Louisiana, they have, the CDC at least claims that it's the first severe bird flu case in America. You know, we'll need some more details on that. Apparently he's hospitalized. And so there was another hospitalized case in Canada a few weeks ago. So it's possible that this virus obviously could naturally mutate. The one that's been already circulating now for a few years as a result of laboratory work. Now this strain could end up just, yeah, naturally evolving now that it's inside so many animals and so many humans, and begin to better infect humans. So it's possible. It's also possible we could face another strain that gets leaked or released from a lab that they really modified to really infect humans. And we know that's the goal of certain people, to actually have a deadly virus released, because actually, quite frankly, a study by Gao and colleagues found more population fear of a virus means more vaccine uptake. So they want as much fear as possible with these viruses so they can increase the rollout of their experimental injections and increase the uptake of them. Because right now, about less than 20% of people, less than 20% of American adults are taking COVID-19 booster shots with no human data. So they're afraid that nobody's going to take their next iterations of shots. So they, in their minds, it would be beneficial for them to release a virus that's actually people are afraid of. And so this brings back to the point, you know, this has to be stopped. The government measures in California implementing these bird flu state of emergency is only going to make the problem worse, in my opinion, especially since we know the government's corrupt. And so now they have the authority to do whatever they want pertaining to this virus. They're going to enter the farms, any farm they want to go into. They're going to test all the animals. And then eventually, and I think this will be the case, if it starts infecting humans more, they may start not only killing all the chickens, they might start killing all the cows. And this would have disastrous side effects nationwide. The food supply chain would be severely damaged. Prices will shoot, skyrocket meat prices. And it's just cruel to kill all these animals, especially when all of them don't need to be killed. Mass killing of animals on a farm. This has been in use for like 200 years, which is probably why they've never reassessed it. It's just the standard that the government goes to prevent animal spread. And this needs to be reassessed because, quite frankly, all the animals are not going to die. They're just not. All chickens, I mean, there was a few studies recently. They put bird flu in a bunch of chickens, the current strain, actually. And it didn't kill all of them. I believe it killed, it was either 25% of them or maybe even 50%. But that's not all of them. The rest of them will get immunity. And that would be a much better outcome than all of them dead. And it still ends up spreading. So I think this entire response to these avian influenza viruses should be reassessed, because quite frankly, everything they've done so far has failed. And it doesn't look like the situation's improving much. So yeah, this needs an entire reassessment.
Well, here's Bill Gates using his massive platform to try to prevent solutions to things that he possibly created, it seems like. And, you know, if they do wipe out all the food, same thing. You know, he has his vegan burgers that I'd imagine he's going to be pretty happy about if there's no real food left. And what I find very interesting is at the beginning of your answer there, the answer you gave actually very much echoes something that Dr. Fauci recently said on a podcast, very much so, where he said, hey, you know, there's good news and bad news here. The good news is that people don't get very sick from the bird flu. There's not really any deaths from it. But the bad news is that it very well could be transmissible to humans. So, you know, I just find it interesting that at least there's that one thing you guys are on the same page about. But we know that Dr. Fauci also has been a pusher of some fear propaganda, which you also touched on in your last answer. You put out an article that I very much appreciated, because propaganda is probably my favorite word. I talk about it with every guest. And you mentioned very specifically some tactics of propaganda to actually get people to make emotional decisions around vaccination. You gave one example was the fear-based approach, and you gave a very specific example of the fear type of messaging and language that they use. You even gave another example of like a love perspective, which I found very interesting. It was something like if you love your family, you'll get vaccinated, something like that. So I just think it's super interesting. Can you speak a little more about the role of propaganda in all this? What if simply mastering your breath could unlock greater mental clarity, stress resilience, and physical control? Created by Erwan LaCour, who has been on the show twice, breath hold work is a powerful meditation practice designed to push the limits of your body and mind. This transformative approach has elevated my own mindful practice and helped many of my clients achieve deeper focus and stress relief. Breath hold work offers online courses and live programs to guide you through this empowering journey, no matter your experience level. Ready to tap into your full potential? Check out Breath Hold Work through the link in the show notes. By supporting them, you're also helping the podcast continue to deliver great guests and life-changing content. So please check out the link below. Hey, do you spend a lot of time looking at screens like your phone, the TV, the computer? Well, that can actually lead to some pretty severe disruption in your circadian rhythm, which messes with your sleep, your hormones, your energy, your mood, your clear-headedness. It can actually disrupt quite a bit. Well, Boncharge has life-changing solutions to enhance your well-being and prevent some of those issues. Their blue light blocking glasses, which I'm actually wearing right now, have honestly transformed my life and even the lives of many of the people I work with. I regularly hear how quickly people's sleep improves once they start using these glasses at night. Plus, their red light therapy devices and other wellness products offer cutting-edge health benefits. With the holiday season just around the corner, it's the perfect time to invest in your health or give the gift of wellness to someone special. Right now, there's actually huge discounts during their biggest sale of the year. So click the link in the show notes to shop and support the show, because every purchase helps me keep bringing you great guests and impactful content. Now back to the show.
Yeah, specifically the HHS, Health and Human Services in the United States, in August of this year launched their propaganda campaign called Risk Less, Do More. And what this campaign does is it attempts to manipulate whoever's watching these videos by invoking emotions like you said, such as love, fear, as well as maternal instincts. And so they're trying to use these psychological manipulation tactics to increase vaccine uptake. And this shouldn't be coming from the government. I mean, this is ridiculous. These advertisements, they don't list any risks. You know, they just say, okay, do you care about your baby? Then okay, go, you have to go get it if you care about your baby. You know, that's terrible. What about the studies by Thorpe and colleagues that found about 30 safety signals in pregnant women from the shots? I mean, they don't mention that. What about the known risks, such as myocarditis, that it's admitted by the government to be causally linked to vaccination? They don't mention that. They don't mention any of the excess mortality risks. They don't mention DNA contamination risks. They don't mention any of the negative efficacy of the injections. They don't mention anything. All they say is they're great. You're going to save grandma. You can go have fun in the holidays. You can go protect your baby. You can love again if you get these. I mean, this is terrible. And it shows just how important the administration and HHS is. So quite frankly, the one that's in there now is just running these campaigns that probably only, I would say, maybe they only got a few percent increase in vaccine uptake from this. So if it's at only about 20% now with the COVID injections, I bet they only got a few percent from this. So they mostly failed. I mean, I think most people don't get tricked by this. The people that do get tricked or fall for it would be people like some older individuals that actually don't have social media. They don't have any access to other information other than mainstream sources. And you can't blame certain people because they don't see the information. All they see is the propaganda sources perpetuated on TV. And so it's disappointing that the government's misleading these people, not telling them the risks, telling them to go get it. And so that has to stop, and to protect these people. These people have to know the risks. You know, if they want to do this campaign, okay, fine. List the thousands of possible side effects, you know, or at least mention the ones that are known and are highly prevalent. So yeah, this entire propaganda campaign should be shut down so it can protect public health.
I can't even tell you how much I appreciate the level of precision you used in your language on that answer, because, you know, some people might be tempted to say, oh, you know, they're pushing vaccines, so therefore it's propaganda. And I don't think that's exactly right, because I mean, there can be some legitimate cases to push vaccines, of course, but you're saying it has to do with where it's coming from. So it's not coming from some kind of individual medical doctor with a sound set of reasons. It's coming from the government with an agenda. They're using emotionally manipulative information to sway your decision making. And they're doing it in a way where they're not addressing any of the risks that should be expressed if you're actually giving someone informed consent on a medical decision, which is what makes all that propaganda. And we know that another type of propaganda that's been deployed against you is lies by omission, specifically the bird flu summit video that you guys filmed and put out, and they pressured you to remove it. And I know you released the transcript for that, but that to me seems like another propaganda tactic. I mean, you're at a public forum seeking out information that affects the public, and they don't want you getting that information out. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, last October, so a few months ago, we went to this International Bird Flu Summit in Washington, D.C., or at least we thought it was in Washington, D.C., like they advertised. It ended up just being about 30 minutes away in Fairfax, Virginia. So they misled people about that. But so we arrived there, and we attended the first presentation session, and we had the director of some of the New York City hospital system she was explaining that there was going to be a H5N1 bird flu full-scale pandemic exercise in the New York City hospital systems in late October. And so all we did was we recorded that, and we recorded a question and answer session. John Leake asked her some questions pertaining to how the hospitals plan to treat it. And he asked just realistic questions, because those are good questions. How will they treat it? You know, what are they going to do? And so there were very benign questions. We posted it on our social media and on Substack. And then a week later, we get an email and a call from the conference organizers saying that this woman wanted us to remove the video from social media, which we questioned. Well, why? There was nothing bad was said. Nothing even bad was said from her. It was just common questions about how the hospitals plan to prepare for this. And so that just gives an example that these biopharmaceutical complex members don't like to share their insights with the public a lot of the time. They think they can just tell people, oh, delete that, censor this, censor that. And they think they can censor their way out of whatever they want people to believe. So yeah, that entire situation was just an example of that. And I would expect something similar to happen at other conferences if we were to record any benign question exchanges.
It is really infuriating the more you think about it, because, you know, we're here, we're regular people trying to figure all this out and do what's best for us and our health and our family. And you guys are doing good work trying to get answers and bring them to the people. And they're basically giving us the middle finger, saying, ah, no, you know, we'll tell you what you need to know. Don't worry about it. It's so insulting and really, I think, indicative of the level of suspicion that should be had towards those people. But I do have, honestly, hours more worth of questions, but I feel like we've covered a lot of stuff, like really good information today. I appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you think might be important that maybe we should dive into before we wrap up?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing right now is what's going to happen between now and January 21st, 2025, the day of the inauguration. As we've heard, and as you mentioned, people like Peter Hotez are warning, there's going to be more pandemic threats after that date or before that date. And the biopharmaceutical complex now is afraid of their extinction of power from high levels of the United States government with the new administration. So we could expect to see any attempts to disrupt inauguration process and Senate confirmations, or just in general, just the release of new pandemic threats to implement new draconian measures, new emergencies, which all they just want to sow chaos and roll out the experimental injections that they've been working on now for years. And especially the most concerning ones, I would say, are the replicons, the self-amplifying mRNA injections. Those are the most concerning. There's a trial ongoing right now in America with Arcturus Therapeutics, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, for H5N1 bird flu. So they're getting all these ready. And yeah, we just have to be on the lookout for these and not fall for any government propaganda this time.
Well said. And I hope people really keep their wits about them this time, because I was living in Pennsylvania when the coronavirus pandemic broke, and people were so annoying, I had to leave the state. I literally moved because people were acting more toxic than any toxicity from the virus itself. I mean, it just seemed like they were watching TV 24/7, and any little thing just scared them to death. You know, it's not healthy to be that way, you know. So even if you are legitimately concerned about this virus, which, you know, maybe you should be, you know, don't stress out and watch, you know, TV propaganda for hours on end and just freak yourself out even more. So, Mr. Nicholas Holscher, I really appreciate your time and valuable knowledge today. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
You can follow me on X. My personal account is NICHolscher, H-U-L, S-C-H-E-R. And you can also follow the McCullough Foundation official account. It's just McCullough Fund, at McCullough Fund. And also follow us on Courageous Discourse Substack. We're posting about 3 posts daily on all the breaking news, and we're providing in-depth analysis. So please go give us a follow. And please support the McCullough Foundation. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, we're doing a lot of work. We're trying to expose the truth, get justice, serve justice, and get accountability for what's happened in the past few years, and ensure the public knows the truth about current events. So please support the McCullough Foundation. You can visit us on our website, mccullohfnd.org, and we very much appreciate donations. We run on those, and they help us keep the mission going. And we would very much appreciate your support. Thank you.
Folks, listen to the man. The McCullough Foundation is the best. I follow them very closely. I read all the articles. If you want to know what's really going on in the world around, you know, this pandemic and bioweapon nonsense, you know, if you want to really make the best decisions and have what I think is the closest to the truth that's out there, click the links in the show notes. I'm going to put all that there. And I'll even put the previous discussions I've had with Dr. Peter McCullough. I'll put your Twitter information. All that is going to be there. So stay safe, but especially stay healthy, stay awake. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Healthy and Awake Podcast. Please remember to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple, or if you're watching this on Rumble or YouTube, please be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a comment down below. Let us know what you thought, or if you had any questions based on what we talked about in this episode. And of course, it couldn't hurt to share it with your friends, those who maybe are awake, or those, of course, who are waking up. Thanks again. Stay healthy. Stay awake.